What is the prayer life of the proficient? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is the Immortal Combat Podcast. The Immortal Combat Podcast is the podcast arm of Viri Christi. Viri Christi is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men attain the full stature of Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, check us out online at virichristi.com. All right, gentlemen, this is the Intro to Spiritual Theology, episode 19. This week, we're going to address the question, what is the prayer life of the proficient? So when you enter the Illuminative Way, how is your prayer life going to develop in it? Now, last week, or last time, I should say, since we have five episodes this month, we discussed the nature of the Illuminative Way. We looked at the two classes of the souls at this stage, both devout and fervent. And then we talked about a program to be followed, namely practicing affective prayer, which we're going to talk about this week, and then the nature of moral and theological virtues, which we'll cover in the next 2 weeks. So this week, we're going to look at the nature of affective prayer, its advantages and disadvantages, and then I'll give you guys some means for fostering affective prayer. All right, what in the world is affective prayer? Okay, in affective prayer is a form of prayer in which the will takes precedent over the intellect. Okay, according to Adolf Tanker, he says this, in affective prayer, devout affections predominate, whereby we express to God our love and our desire of glorifying him. Okay, now how is this different from the prayer life of the beginner? Beginners need to acquire convictions. Okay, so for a beginner, he has to give more attention to reasoning rather than affections. Okay. So when you're a beginner of the spiritual life, you don't know very much about God, his plan for your life, what he's done for you. So your prayer life focuses a lot on words, okay, and thoughts. Words and thoughts. So that's why we talked about vocal prayers last month. We talked about mental prayer, right? This idea of this thinking these thoughts in your head, okay? Well, as you start to acquire convictions, these convictions are going to start to be rooted in your will. Remember, the hallmark of the Illuminative Way is that we are imitating Jesus Christ to adorn ourselves with his virtues, okay, which got with God's grace, of course. So in the Illuminative Way, the affections will grow and our prayer life will start to transition. So not just being thoughts, spoken thoughts in vocal prayer or mental thoughts, but they're going to be rooted in our will and our affections. We're going to start to desire and to love God more. That's the idea. In the purgative way we discussed before, you have to learn to think about God, turn your mind towards him. We talked about the fact that God will offer people in the purgative way certain consolations, the kind of the warm and fuzzies with it, okay? What happens in the Illuminative Way is God wants to root your spiritual life in your will, okay? Now, rooting in your will doesn't mean the intellect becomes irrelevant because the will follows the intellect. So you're still going to think about things at this level, okay? It doesn't mean there isn't any emotions. But what it does do is what God will do to transition from the purgative Illuminative Way is he kind of pulls back the consolations so that we have to make a decision. Am I going to pursue God for his own sake or for the things, the way he makes me feel or and things like that? Okay. As a person starts to turn their will towards him, okay, in prayer, then God will bring back those consolations and deepen our thoughts for him. That's the idea. Okay. So affective prayer is in the will, okay? And what do we do with affective prayer? Express our love of God and our desire to glorify him, okay? Remember, love is predominantly in the will. Desiring to glorify him is also in the will, okay? So what are some advantages of affective prayer? First advantage, the principal advantage is we have a closer and more abiding union with God. So with affective prayer, you're going to become closer to our Lord. Second, affective prayer perfects the virtues that flow from charity, okay? So when you're practicing affective prayer, you're going to conform your will to God's will. You're going to start to desire God to gain glory through your life. You're going to desire more frequent communion with him. That could mean literally you go to communion more often. That could mean you're trying to hit up a holy hour once a week. That could mean you're turning your time and your thoughts and affections towards him more throughout the day and through the week. That's communing with him more often. And also it fosters a spirit of sacrifice. When you love someone and you desire their good, you want to die for them, okay? Whether literally or metaphorically, okay? Affective prayer, thirdly, also increases our joy of God. So in time, the more we love him and are devoted to him, we will have a deeper sense of his presence and a more joy. We'll be more consoled by his presence. Lastly, affective prayer becomes more and more simple. What you notice at this level of prayer is your spiritual life is going to simplify. So you're not going to be like bouncing around to devotions. Okay, you're going to kind of settle on a few devotions that you're going to be very devoted to. Okay, very, very constant in keeping them, but you're not going to be running around chasing different kinds. There's lots of spirituality. There's lots of types of devotions. There's lots of types of prayer in the Catholic spiritual tradition. They're all great, wonderful, and good. Ultimately, you kind of settle into one of them or, you know, a handful of devotions. That's what's going to happen here, okay? So our prayer life is going to become more simple. So the number and variety of affections will start to be limited, but we will intensify the ones that remain, okay? This is going to lead to what's called the prayer of simplicity, which we'll talk about next month, okay? But if you guys find your prayer life simplifying big time, there's nothing wrong with that at this stage, okay? Perfectly fine. In fact, we would expect that, okay? So those are some advantages. What in the world could be disadvantages of effective prayer? Well, one, our desire and love of God is going to increase at this time, but doing that, conforming our will to God's, increasing our desire and love for him, it can lead to mental strain, okay? Relationship with God is like any relationship, friend relationship, family. I'm a married man, so being a married husband, it can be difficult, it can be exhausting to love other people, even when we want to, okay? It takes a lot of effort to do it. That can happen in prayer life too, okay? So sometimes you'll be praying, you'll be tired and I don't feel God's presence and oh my gosh, what am I doing? You may be tempted at that point to start, you know, jumping around to other devotions. Don't do that, okay? Guys, love is primarily in the will, not the feelings. When you are praying your daily prayers, when you're, you know, being devoted to the things you've committed yourself to, when you're turning your mind and will to God, even if you don't feel his presence, you're loving him by doing that. Now, I want to caution, I don't think we shouldn't get in the mindset like it's okay to go through the motions. So I don't mean that, but let's all be honest. Some days you just have to do it because you care. I'm a sports guy. I like lifting weights and working out. There's lots of workouts I do. I don't even want to do it. I don't want to lift. Okay. Why do I do it? Because I'm devoted to it. By lifting, even though I don't feel like it, it feels like I don't get anything out of it. I'm still making progress and stuff like that. I'm not, in some sense, you got to go through the motions sometimes, and that's okay. We don't want our entire prayer life to become that. That would be bad. But there's going to be days when you just kind of got to go through the motions, and it's okay. Okay. So don't get too caught up in mental strain and fatigue. Remind yourself, listen, love's in the will. I'm doing what God asked me to do because I love him. That's about it. Okay. Don't wear yourself out trying to stir up some emotions. Second disadvantage, some people will suffer through pride. Listen, when you get to the Illuminative Way, I'm just going to say it very bluntly, you're going to be a better Christian than most people. Okay. Good Christians are good men. So you're going to look around at like the heathen and pagan men. You're gonna be like, I'm way better than them. There's an element of truth to that. Okay. We can't give in to pride. Anything good about us comes from God. So we must maintain humility that if we have more virtue than other men, if we're more prayerful than other people, that's his doing, not ours. So you got to combat pride and we got to combat presumption. We start to think that, you know, how holy we are and, you know, we're so great and nobody can touch us and we're going to heaven no matter what. Can't do that. Okay. Don't want presumption. Third disadvantage, some people make their entire devotion life consist in a quest for consolations. They try to chase the warm and fuzzies. Don't do that. I will talk about the spiritual life more in the future on different units we put together. Don't chase consolations, okay? You need to keep the rule you've committed to. Don't neglect your daily duties. Okay, so whatever state in life you're in, do your daily duties. Practice ordinary virtues. Okay, patience, empathy, fortitude, temperance. A lot of growing in virtue, guys, is doing all the little boring things to be great. Again, I'm a sports guy. To become great at sports, everybody gets these illusions of grandeur. A lot of being great at sports is doing just all the little things that most guys can't do. You got the same thing here, okay? So make sure that you stick to your rule of life. Practice, or don't neglect your duties of your state in life. Practice ordinary virtue, okay? Which brings me to the application, which I've kind of already hinted at. Guys, practice the rule of life. That's why it's there. I wrote a rule of life for you guys, invited you to participate in it, because keeping a rule of life will help you stay grounded. It's the foundation of your spiritual life and will help you keep growing. Second, when you're trying to foster affections in prayer, okay, one thing you can do to grow in your love of God is to call to mind and admire God's beauty, goodness, and mercy. Okay, so remind yourself of that, how wonderful God is, how generous he is, how loving he is. When you think about those things, you will naturally start to love and desire him more. Second, meditate frequently on the great truths of the faith, so because they call to mind the things that God's done for us. That's why the rosary is just such a beautiful devotion, because it just every day you're taking five mysteries of Christ's life, you're meditating on them, reminding yourself of them. For most of the mysteries rosary, you're doing that twice a week. The rosary is a beautiful way to foster these effects, okay? So keep practicing that, all right? So there's no shortcut in growth in holiness and sanctity, but there it is. So keep practicing the rule. Keep fostering those affections in your prayer life. Trust on God. Don't become proud. Let him give you the grace to do it, and you will definitely start to grow. So, all right, we are butting up against the end of our time together, so I will stop there. Next week, we're going to talk about the moral virtues. The week after that, the theological virtues, and then we'll wrap up our reflection with the counterattacks of the enemy, how to identify them and avoid them. So hope you guys have a blessed week. I'll talk to you next time. God bless.